Good morning, everyone. We're just going to go ahead and jump into the message today. I'd like to give a shout out for all you University of Washington Husky fans. They are in the Final Four, so of the NCAA tournament, which is amazing. And if there's any Grizz fans in the house, they won handily yesterday. If you're a Montana State Bobcat fan, you might need to get a new kicker. So, all right, we're going to go ahead and start with the message today. A couple weeks ago, I started this series, and it's called Potential Killers. And this is part three. And we're just going to jump into Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 5. The Lord had said to Abram, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you." So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan. And they arrived there. I always like to put myself into the scriptures because it helps me to understand a little bit more about how amazing some of these people are. I can't imagine being 75 years old, living in a country that you have known your entire life, with all the things that you have, all of your family, and God showing up and saying, "I want you to leave this place. Leave the land that you know. And go to a place that I will show you." He didn't give him the destination. He didn't say, "Jim, I want you to leave Spokane, and I want you to go to Dallas, Texas." It's like he would have said, "Jim, I want you to leave everything you know, and I'm not going to tell you where you're going. Just start walking." That is terrifying to me. Would you be able to do it? It would be so difficult. But he said, "I will turn you into a great nation. I will be your God. I will do this. I will do that." God gave Abram promises. All he had to do was be obedient. Amen? No matter how hard it seems, God will fulfill the promises that he has given us. So he says, "I want you to go from here, and I want you to go to there," and he begins to bless him. He begins to bless him. But he did tell Abraham, "Your descendants will be enslaved for 400 years. So he moves out of the area. He has sons. They have sons. They have families. They end up in Egypt because of a great famine. And then they fall out of favor, and they become slaves for 400 years. And God brings them out of Egypt, brings them out of the slavery. He's fulfilling his promise to his people. And he says, "I am going to take you and put you in a land flowing with milk and honey. The old slavery is going to be in the past. This is the promise that I have for you now. Get up, leave Egypt, and head for the promised land." This journey should have only taken them 11 days to go from Egypt into God's promises. It took them 40 years to get there. In Leviticus chapter 26, verses 3 through 12, God says, "If you follow my decrees and are careful to obey my commands, I will send you rain in its season, and the ground will yield its crops and the trees their fruit. Your threshing will continue until grape harvest, and the grape harvest will continue until planting. and you will eat all the food you want and live in safety in your land. I will grant peace in the land, and you will lie down, and no one will make you afraid. I will remove wild beasts from the land, and the sword will not pass through your country. You will pursue your enemies, and they will fall by the sword before you. Five of you will chase 100, and 100 of you will chase 10,000, and your enemies will fall by the sword before you. I will look on you with favor and make you fruitful and increase your numbers, and I will keep my covenant with you. You will still be eating last year's harvest when you will have to move it out and make room for the new. I will put my dwelling place among you. I will not abhor you. I will walk among you and be your God, and you will be my people. This is a promise that God gave to the Israelites. And we go back to the story of Egypt, coming out of Egypt, and the 40 years that they spent in the wilderness, and all the stuff that they went through. They didn't know where their next meal was coming from. They didn't know if there was going to be water to drink. They didn't know how they were going to get there. And God gave them those promises. But a whole generation passed away in that wilderness. A whole generation never knew the promises of God. They never walked into those promises. In the life of a whole generation of Israelites, Canaan was their potential, but the wilderness was their reality. There's a difference between potential and reality. They were not obedient to God's laws. They were not obedient to his ways. Therefore, they had to walk around in that desert over and over and over again. Why? God said, I will test their hearts and see if they will be obedient to me. Because if they're not obedient to me, and I take them directly into Jericho, they won't be obedient to me there either, and they will be annihilated as a people. He needed them to trust him, even when it didn't make sense, even when it wasn't the easiest thing to do. But when God gives a promise, you can take it to the bank. When he gives a promise, and there are promises in the Old Testament that were strictly for Jewish people. But Jesus said, when you believe in me, you are grafted into a vine. And that vine is Jewish. When we become adopted by God, we now become a descendant, in God's eyes, of Abraham. And he says, there will be no Jew or Gentile anymore. Going back to the promises that he gave to Abram, one of the things that he said was, all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Not just the Jews, all people. If you are not a Jew, that includes you. All people will be blessed. God has given all people promises in his scriptures. We have access to those promises. And whether or not we're living in the reality of those promises is mostly due to us. The choices that we make in our lives. So here I'm going to give you some of the promises. Some of these are repeats. But here are some of the promises that God has given us in his word. In Isaiah 40:31, he says, those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. God promises to give rest to the weary. And I don't know about you, sometimes I get a little weary. I find that the older that I get, the more naps I want to take. There are times when I left. So last Thanksgiving is supposed to be a 4-day weekend, right? Anybody? Oh, there are a few of you awake. But I was looking forward to my 4-day weekend. And as I started to go through what I had to do in those 4 days, it got a little bit more. So we did the Thanksgiving thing. The next day, Belinda and I got a room at the Coeur d'Alene, because we always go with our family to the parade and the fireworks show. Well, when we used to take our family before kids, it was a piece of cake. But now we have 4 little ones under the age of 3 and a half. And standing out in the cold for an hour and a half is no longer an option. It's no longer a wise option. It's still an option, but it's not wise. So we decided, well, we'll just get a room. And we got a nice room with the waterfront tower overlooking the marina. So we went there, and we had all 4 grandkids in the room there, which gets a little crazy. I know why God has young people have kids. Because when you get to my age, you get weary. You get weary. So we stayed the night there. It was really nice. Blinn and I went to a nice breakfast the next morning, Saturday morning. And then we had a birthday party to go to for little Hallie. Hallie. Hey. Hi, Hallie. Hi, Allie. You say hi? Nope. Not going to happen. So we had her birthday party here at the church at 4 o'clock. Well, it gets over, but it's not over. Then comes the cleanup, correct? So we're here cleaning up and get everything taken care of. And so the next morning is church. So we get up on Sunday morning and do the church thing and everything. And then I got home, and I wanted to watch football. And it's a juggling act. Football, nap. Football, nap. The games last week were terrible anyway, so I said, I'm just going to take a nap. I slept for 3.5 hours. I woke up at 5 o'clock on Sunday night, and I didn't know where I was. I didn't know what day it was. I didn't know if I had to get up and go to work. I was just done. And I walked out of the room, and I was like a zombie. I just had no, and I went and I just sat down. And Belinda's laughing at me. But I slept for 3.5 hours. Sometimes you're just weary. Sometimes you're weary in doing good. Am I right? Sometimes you're weary and doing bad. But God says, I will give you rest. I will give you what you need. I have a lot of people say, there should be more than 24 hours in a day. Why? You just shove more stuff into it. You'd say, oh yeah, I could get this done and get this done. Well, how many of you had things that you wanted to get done your entire life, and then you said, if I had time, I would do this and this and this and this. And COVID hit. You had time. Did you do what you thought you would do? I didn't. So stop telling yourself, if I had time, I would get this done. No, you wouldn't. You make time for the important things. You ain't finding time. It doesn't happen. Amen? God will give you strength when you are weary. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He promises to give us rest. Have you ever laid down and your mind is just going a mile a minute, and you're sitting there, and you can't go to sleep, and you can't go to sleep, you can't go to sleep. God says, I'll give you rest. I will give you rest. But we have to walk in his ways. Amen? Another one, James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. He promises to give wisdom to those who ask. Lord, I wish our politicians would ask for wisdom, because there doesn't seem to be a whole lot of it. And I don't care if you're red, blue, yellow, black, whatever. There's not a lot of wisdom in the people that govern our lives. But God says, if you lack wisdom, if you have a big decision to make and you're not quite sure which way you should go, ask him. Ask him. He'll tell you. He will let you know. But if you lack wisdom, I don't know how many. I wish I had a nickel for every time that I ask God to give me wisdom in a situation, especially as a pastor. It's hard being a shepherd of a flock, and it takes wisdom. It's what Solomon asked for. God said, I will give you whatever you ask for. And he said, he didn't ask for money. He didn't ask for wives. He didn't ask for any of these things. He asked, Lord, give me the wisdom to rule your people wisely. That's what he asked for. And Solomon is known as one of the wisest men in the world. How you end up with 300 wives and 700 concubines? Because that ain't very wise if you ask me. I'm not going to go into that any further. All right, let's go. Let's move on. James chapter 4, verse 7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. God promises that if you submit first to me, then the devil will have to flee. You see, a lot of people, they quote that scripture and they start with, resist the devil and he will flee. No, you have to submit first to God. There's a story in the Bible, the seven sons of Sceva, who were going around trying to cast out demons. And they saw the disciples doing it, and they thought, oh, well, we'll do it the same way that they do. And so they called on the name of God and said, in the name of God, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, I command you to come out. And the demon says, you know, this Jesus of Nazareth, I know who that is. But I don't know who you are. And it says these demons whooped on him and sent him running into the streets buck naked. You need to submit to God first, and then you are walking in his power, not your power. I love David when he was facing Goliath. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine who dares to mock the God of Israel? You see, he didn't stand there and say, you're dealing with me, buddy. I'm going to take you down. No, he stood there with God at his back. When you submit first to him, the enemy must flee. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He promises to forgive our sins when we confess our sins. You see, when we sin, we have accrued a penalty. And that penalty must be paid. It says the wages of sin is death. So the first time we sin, the penalty is your blood, your life. And God says, I will send a substitute. I will send someone who will pay that penalty for you. It's like if you get a phone call from the IRS. Well, Jim, we see you have not paid your taxes for your entire life. You owe $1.5 million in taxes. Well, guess what? I'm going to jail because I don't have $1.5 million. And it would be like if I got a phone call from Larry. And Larry says, Jim, I've been a good steward. I'm going to pay your penalty so you don't have to go to prison. Because I'm too pretty to go to prison. How grateful would I be to Larry for making that payment for me? Very grateful. It's the same thing that God did with his son. He says, my son, I'm going to send to the earth, and he is going to die. He's going to shed his blood so that you don't have to. All you have to do is receive that payment. That's it. He didn't say, receive that payment and then work it off. No, this is a free gift from God to every person. And that payment is made. What an incredible deal. Jesus is taking his perfect record and willing to exchange it with my rotten 60-volume record. And he says, I'll take that one, you have this one. By his grace and by his mercy is why he does it. And he says, when we confess our sins, when we admit, Lord, I have sinned against you, and I want to receive that cancellation of my debt. He promises to do that. Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. You see, it's a command. You need to forgive. And we all know it's easier said than done. It is easier said than done. And a lot of people that I talk to and a lot of people that I counsel, they say, I can't forgive this person for what they have done. This scripture says, then God can't forgive you for your trespasses if you're not willing to forgive them. He says he will forgive us if we forgive others. There are times when you don't have it in you to forgive that person. But you need to remember, forgiveness is not for the other person's benefit. It's for your benefit. And we have a God that we can go to and say, God, I can't. I cannot forgive this person. But I know that through your Spirit and through your help, you can make me able to do this. He will give you the strength. But we need to seek him and ask him. John chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Whoever believes in him. God sent his son to die for all people. Every person who has ever drawn a breath, he sent his son for them. We were created to exist forever. We will either die and continue in eternal life, or we will die and continue in eternal death. There's nothing in the scriptures says that we cease to exist. Our soul will live on somewhere. And he says, I want you to spend that eternity with me. That's why he created us. He created us to be in relationship with him. When I grew up, I was raised Catholic. Altar boy the whole bit, 8 years of parochial school. And my vision of who God was, according to how I was being taught, was that God was just this big meanie in the sky waiting for me to screw up because he loved to punish me. And then I found truth and realized that's not the God of the Scriptures. See, the God of the Scriptures is a loving God who wants to have a relationship with me, who doesn't want me to screw up because it doesn't benefit me in my life. He sent his Son for all. And the choice that we make will determine our eternity. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. He promises to meet all of our needs. He does not promise to meet all of our wants. But what we need, he will provide. One of the names of Jehovah is Jehovah Yireh. It's pronounced Jehovah Jireh in Greek, and the Hebrew is Jehovah or Yahweh Yireh, and Yireh means to see. This verse actually means he is the God who sees and will provide. He sees every little detail in our life. Larry talked last week about he knows how many hairs you have on your head. And the hairs that you have on your head are exactly what God wants you to have. But he sees where we're at. No matter where we are in our lives, no matter what is going on around us, he sees where we're at. You see, oftentimes we make stupid decisions and we end up in consequences. And then we sit there and go, oh God, why did you bring me here? He didn't send you there. You chose to go there. But he does still see. You can never get far enough from him where he will not be able to see where you are and what's going on in your life. He is the God who sees, and he will provide. He will take care of you. Psalm 50, verse 15. Call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. What an incredible promise. Have any of you ever been in a day of trouble? I have enough to share with you if you've never had them. But it says, when you call on me in the day of trouble, I will deliver you. And then I love the last part, and you shall glorify me. Why? Because a lot of times when we get out of trouble, we like to take credit for it. When we call on God in a day of trouble and he delivers us, that's when you say, thank you, God. And you tell people, it wasn't me. It had nothing to do with me. He delivered me out of that trouble. And I am going to praise him for it, for his glory. Amen? He makes these promises to us. Jeremiah 29, verse 13. It says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. And in Proverbs 8, 17, I love those who love me, and those who seek me find me. You see, God doesn't answer casual inquiries. He says, if you seek me with all of your heart, then I will be found. He doesn't play games. He doesn't play hide and seek. He doesn't wait until you're good enough. But if we seek him with all of our heart, he says, you'll find me. The problem is a lot of people won't seek him. A lot of people deny his existence. A lot of people believe in him, but this is my life. I'll live it however I like. Thank you. You see, those attitudes are potential killers. You see, the potential that we have in Christ is all of these things. We have the ability, we have the access to these promises. Jeremiah 29, verses 11 and 12. I know the plans that I have for you. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You see, God knew you before you were even in your mom's womb. He knew everything about you. He created you. The Bible says that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. There's no other person on the earth or that has ever lived or ever will live that is like you or me. He has a plan for our lives. And if you're honest, and you look at where you are right now in your life, can you honestly say that I am living in the promises of God? Am I living in those promises? Are those your reality? Because it is your potential. We have the potential to live all of these things out in our lives. That no matter what's going on around us, God will give me peace. He will give me rest. He will help me when I'm weary. He will help me when I need strength. He will deliver me from days of trouble. Those are His promises, and God keeps His promises. The problem is we don't walk in them. And the potential is there, but the reality is the reality. Amen? The reality is, whatever the decisions we make in our lives, that is the reality. But the potential for all of these things to be true in our lives is there. They've been laid out. God does not retract them. Now, there are promises that are if, then. If you do this, then this will happen. But what's your reality today? Are you walking in these promises? Are you weary on a daily basis? God says, I will give you rest. We have access to all of these promises. But what is your reality? The word potential, and the reason I call this potential killers, is because we all have the potential. Like the Israelites coming out of Egypt, their potential was Canaan. Their potential was a land flowing with milk and honey. But their reality was they were walking around in the dirt, mumbling and grumbling. I'm getting sick of this food that God has given us on a daily basis. I just wish we had some meat. And you look at that, you look back, you put yourself into it, I would probably be one of the grumblers too. Don't think you're all high and mighty enough to have gone back there and gone, my God will supply my riches and my needs and everything that I need. But you're walking around in the dirt, dude. The potential was there. Potential is something that can develop or become actual. Something that is not reality now, but could happen. You see, we all have the potential. Why? Because God gave it to us. We need to walk in it. We need to walk in that, in the promises that He has given us. God, this is not what I see right now, but I know the potential. Pastor Henry talked about the future is glorious. The future is the potential. We don't see it right now. We're not walking in it right now, but the potential is there. God, help me get from the reality and enter into the potential. It is the hope that we have. God says, I will have a place for you where there is no more weeping, no more tears, no more suffering. That is the promise that he has given us. Do we see it and walk in it right now? No, we do not. But we alter our decisions in our life today so that we can walk in the potential tomorrow. And then the potential becomes your reality. We need to know these promises. We look back at the people that have gone through these things, the things that have been recorded, and we remember them so that we don't repeat what they've done. They're lessons to us. And we need to heed those lessons. You see, God wants nothing more than to spend eternity with every single person. And when you become a believer, that's not the end. That's the beginning of a whole new life. You see, before I became a Christian, it was all about Jim. Whatever Jim wanted to do, within the parameters of whether or not I get found out, I did it. I based my decision on doing wrong things on what was the percentage of me getting caught doing them. And I ended up in a lot of situations and circumstances that God never intended me to be in. But I ended up there because of the consequences of the choices that I made. We all have to live with those consequences. But we have access to his promises. And when we begin to give over, you see, everybody wants a savior. I'm going to have the music ministry team come up. Everybody wants a savior. Jesus, my savior and Lord. Who doesn't want a savior? It's the Lord part that is difficult. Lord actually means master. Master means master gets to tell you what to do. And if you call him Adonai, master, that means it's not your life anymore. It's his. And he has plans not to harm you, but to prosper you. He says, I know the plans that I have for you. And those plans are to bless you and to bless other people that you come into contact with. See, the blessings of God are not just yours. The gifts that he gives you are not yours. They're yours to utilize, but they belong to him. And he says, I have a plan for you. Start walking in your potential. And not be bogged down by your reality. Amen? We have access to these promises. Utilize it. It's like when you get a gift card to somewhere, like Cabela's. Oh, great, I got a $50 gift card. Let me just put it on the shelf. What good is it? Unless you go and redeem it at Cabela's. It's silly to have a gift card that you're not going to use. It's worthless. You see, God gives us gifts. What do we do with them? Do you put it on the shelf where it's absolutely worthless? Oh, that's a nice gift that you have, Jim. Yeah, Belinda gave that to me. Well, do you use it? No. Why not? I don't know. Utilize the gifts that he's given you. Understand and walk in the potential that he has promised us. And your lives will be much different, much better, much more peaceful, much less worry, much less strife. You know, there's enough crap in the world today. We don't need to add more to it. Be the light that God has called us to be in a world full of crap. Even when you're hated, that's not easy to do. See, when I get attacked for my faith, the first thing that usually happens is old Jim rears up. And I love a good debate. But that's not always what God wants me to do. See, God puts those people in your life. I had a situation. As a pastor, sometimes God will bring into your midst what we call EGRs. Extra grace required. We don't have any here. Not talking to any of y'all. But some people just rub you the wrong way. And the Bible says, I have to love that person. I don't have to like them, but I have to love them. And God brought this one person into the church a few years ago. And this person was an EGR big time. And in one of my prayer times, after just dealing with this person, I just said, God, can you just remove this person? Not kill her, just remove her from the church. Because she is a pain in the rump. And God says, I put people in your life that are easy to like and are easy to love as a blessing to you. I put these other people in your life, the EGRs, so that you can learn to be more like my son. Wow. God will put people in your life that rub you the wrong way. And they're there for a reason. Belinda and I, whenever we go through difficult times, the first thing we do is, okay, God, have we caused this? Are we the reason? Did we make a bad decision somewhere where we're reaping the benefits and these are the consequences of a bad decision? If the answer is no, then it's like, then give me the strength to get through this. And let me learn what I'm supposed to learn. You see, there are levels in your faith, in your walk with Him. And if you don't learn what you need to learn on this level, God is not going to take you to the next level because it might ruin you. You need to learn how to do these things before you can learn how to do these things. You have to learn how to crawl before you can walk. You have to learn how to walk before you can run. No baby ever has gone from laying in the bassinet to jumping out of it and running down the hallway. Never has ever happened. Ever. Not even Jesus did that. So wherever you are in your walk with Him, ask God, Lord, give me wisdom. Let me learn what I'm supposed to learn here so that I can go to here. Because if you're here your entire life, you're walking around the same mountain, you're going through the same crud, you're going through the same difficulties, and the thing is, God will just bring another person in to help you to learn how to get to that next level. Wherever you are, say, God, teach me what I need to do here so that I can go to here. Don't stay here your entire life. If you're gamers out there, it's level up, level up, level up. You don't sit there on the same level the whole time because it just gets boring. Am I right? Any gamers here? No? Okay. I wish I had those 30 seconds back. God wants you to increase in your grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ so that we can do the things that He has called us to do and be representatives of Him in a world that desperately needs the light of God. Amen? Please stand.
When I was in school many, many decades ago, we learned about energy and potential energy and kinetic energy. And it's the same concept. And as we worshiping this last song, it's akin to what James said about faith and works. Amen? Having the potential is good, but realizing and walking in that potential is even better, and that's what God desires for us. James said, "You show me your faith, and I'll show you my works." Faith is good, but it's only half the equation. If we don't do anything with it, if it doesn't manifest itself in a way that touches somebody, that helps somebody, that encourages somebody, that lifts somebody up, then it's useless. Amen? God has put in us everything we need to accomplish the purposes for which He saved us. Amen? We don't need more faith. We always ask for more faith, but that's not really what we need. What we need is to act on the faith we already got. Amen? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word this morning. We thank You, Lord, that You're faithful. We thank You that You've promised us that when we seek You, we will find You. Put that desire into us, Lord, that we will want to seek You, that we will want to draw closer to You, that we will want to walk in the path that You have shown us in Your word, Lord. We pray, Father, committing every person in this sanctuary and wherever folks are listening. Whatever we're going through this morning, Lord, You knew we would be going through it before time began. That's the kind of God You are. And we just lay every burden at the foot of the cross this morning. We can't carry it ourselves, Lord. But we know You are more than able to see us through whatever it is, Lord. Father, we lift up those that are going through fits of depression during this season of life. We pray Your healing in our minds, in our bodies. We pray, Lord, lifting up families before You this morning, Lord, that You will be the head of every home in this place. Lord, we pray You will continue to show us Your will, show us Your way, and give us the strength to desire to walk in Your way, Lord. Dismiss us now with Your blessing. May Your sweet Holy Spirit continually abide with us and in us until we meet again. And all God's people said, amen. You are dismissed.